My brothers and sisters, about 2 weeks ago, my wife Christy and I were vacationing with our daughters and our sons-in-law and our grandchildren in Destin, Florida. On the beach one afternoon, I decided to sit down about 100 feet away from the family canopy and build a sandcastle. Well, after about 2 hours, I had constructed a square castle with lots of trees that I made by dripping wet sand. You ever done that before? You take the sand, you keep it in a bucket, keep a lot of water in it, and you pick the sand up, and then you let it drip through your fingers, and it kind of forms like trees and stuff like that. It's pretty neat. I built a bunch of those. I had a lot of those on top of this castle. Now, my granddaughter, Isabel, said, "Pop, Pop, it needs a bridge." And so I said, "Go ahead, make one." So she made a bridge across the moat, and we put some trees beside the bridge. And I taught her how to make those trees by dripping the sand. So On the four walls of the castle, which were smooth, I carved on one a fish, and I carved on the next wall a Cairo. Do you know what a Cairo is? Well, that's that PX that you see sometimes, and it's two Greek letters put together and forms what's called a Cairo, and it means Christ the Lord or Christ the King. And then on the third wall I carved a cross, and on the fourth wall I carved a Star of David, of course. Now, and then I went back to the canopy to sit down in the shade for a while. Now, about 15 minutes later, little Isabel came running up and said, "Pop, Pop, some people came and smashed our castle to pieces and then set up their chairs in front of it on the beach." Well, as you might guess, I wasn't very happy about that. Now, my immediate judgment was that maybe they're atheists or something, you know? And they didn't want to see all those religious symbols on that castle, so they just smashed it. But instead of making a scene and confronting them about it, which I probably would have done in my younger years, I just decided to construct another religious symbol just a few feet away from where they were sitting, and right out in front of them so they'd be sure and see it. Now, I need to be honest here. I didn't really have the purest intentions for doing this. I mean, it was as much about getting back at them for destroying our castle as it was about creating a sign of the presence of Christ. The presence of Christ, that is, that can never be destroyed, actually. But nonetheless, I set about to sculpt a 5-foot-long and 3-foot-wide crucifix, of all things, in the sand. But as I worked, an amazing transformation began to take place, not just in the sand, but among the people on the beach, and also inside of my own heart as well. As the crucified Jesus began to emerge from the sand, I have a picture of it.
Hold it up so they can see it in the back. They can't see it in the back.
But as the crucified Jesus began to emerge from the sand, people were walking up and down the beach, began to stop and watch. They were taking pictures with their phones and commenting about how inspiring it was. And It was striking up all kinds of conversations about Jesus and about the gospel and about our common faith in Christ and what he did for us on the cross. It was pretty amazing. And then a man from Tennessee started, who was standing there taking some pictures, started telling how he and his family had watched Isabel and me spend over 2 hours building our castle with those symbols of faith on it. And also how after we left, another family had come walking down to the beach with their two little children. Well, he also told how these two little children kind of were running ahead of their parents, and they innocently trampled down the castle as their parents were making their way to the beach. Well, the parents didn't know what had happened, and it was an innocent thing. The little kids were really young, and they were just playing in the sand. How embarrassing for me. You see, sisters and brothers, when our first concern is for protecting ourselves, safeguarding our own agendas, or only looking out to satisfy our own interests or our own desires, then our perception, our seeing becomes clouded and distorted. And we tend to see only what's lacking or what's wrong or what's missing in our lives or in the world around us. And then, to make matters even worse, we use that same clouded and distorted seeing to divide and separate ourselves from others, excluding them from our acceptable group, our acceptable clan. But you know what? When we focus our sight on Jesus, crucified for us all, then our seeing is transformed. And we're able to perceive a reality that always remains hidden from a self-centered or a self-absorbed mind. Now, here's another wonderful example of what I'm talking about here. Steve Covey, the author of the best-selling book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, tells of an experience that he had on a New York subway one Sunday morning. He says people were sitting quietly. Some were reading newspapers. Some were dozing, and others were simply contemplating with their eyes closed. It was a rather peaceful and a calm scene. At one stop, a man and his children entered the car. The children were soon yelling back and forth, throwing things, even grabbing people's newspapers. It was all very disturbing. And yet the father just sat there next to them and did nothing. It was not difficult to feel irritated. Steve could not believe the man could just was so insensitive as to let his children just run wild and do nothing about it. It was easy to see that everyone else in the car was annoyed as well. So finally, with what he thought was admirable restraint and patience, Steve said to the man, "Sir, your children are really disturbing a lot of people. I wonder if you couldn't control them a little bit more." The man lifted his gaze as if coming into consciousness for the first time and said, "Oh, you're right. I guess I should do something about it. We just came from the hospital where their mother died about an hour ago. I don't know what to think, and I guess they don't know how to handle it either." Steve says, "Can you imagine what I felt at that moment? Suddenly, I saw things differently. And because I saw differently, I felt differently. I behaved differently. My irritation vanished. I didn't have to worry about controlling my attitude or my behavior. My heart was filled with this man's pain. Feelings of compassion and sympathy flowed freely. Your wife just died? Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you tell me about it? What can I do to help? Nothing changed in that subway car. All was the same. The same people, the same irritation, the same kids. What did change was a way of seeing it all, and with the seeing, a change of behavior. You see, my friends, once Steve's eyes were open by seeing the crucified Christ in this suffering man and his children, his perception, his seeing was transformed, which in turn made another transformation possible. A transformation whereby Steve himself became like a shepherd sent by God to offer that family compassion, help, and consolation in their time of need. Oh, your wife just died. Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you tell me about it? What can I do to help? Now, let's just stop for a moment and take another look at our gospel today. Now, here we are. We find Jesus looking for a secluded, quiet place where he and his disciples could just get away for a while, for a much-needed rest, and to pray for a little bit. But when he got out of the boat, a huge crowd was waiting there. And what was Jesus' response to this? What was his attitude? Was he angry or upset because they spoiled his plan to get away for a while? No. Mark tells us that Jesus' heart was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. But you know, brothers and sisters, I believe that for most all of us, my initial reaction that day on the beach and Steve's first reaction in the subway, seeing only what was lacking or what was wrong or what was missing in those encounters, is much more typical reaction and attitude towards the people that threaten us or upset our agenda, don't you think? That's much more typical. But the real tragedy, though, the real tragedy happens when we then turn and use that clouded and distorted seeing to divide and separate ourselves from others, excluding them from our acceptable clan, our acceptable group. But you know what? When we focus our sight on Jesus, crucified for all of us, then our seeing is transformed and we're able to perceive a reality that always remains hidden from a self-centered or a self-absorbed mind. When we focus on Christ crucified, everything changes. God said in our first reading this morning through Jeremiah, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock. And St. Paul tells us in our second reading that Christ Jesus, that in Christ Jesus, both those who are far away and those who are near are made into one body through the cross, putting that separation, that enmity to death and reconciling us by the cross. For through him and in him, we all have access in one spirit to our Father.